little bit different. This is a debate, but it's a debate that I had entirely in TikTok DMs with Corey. Normally, when I get hostile DMs like this, I ignore them because the person is just obviously too stupid or too crazy to talk to. But for whatever reason, I decided to really go back and forth with Corey. And I'll be upfront, I was not kind. So this is how it all started out. I'll have Corey read it to you in their own voice.
I look forward to your demonstrable, repeatable, peer-reviewed evidence of macroevolution. Please do not confuse this with microevolution. I also look forward to your evidence for life coming from non-life. Let's not mistake heat and gases with jolt of lightning forming organic molecules in a lab with human interference as proof of life from non-life. I also look forward to hearing where you derive your morality from and why it should pertain to anyone but you. I'm also curious as to what caused the Big Bang. Also, what caused the cause that caused the Big Bang? Also, what caused the cause that caused the cause that caused the Big Bang?
The only thing I said was LMFAO, and I never planned on engaging, but then Corey had to go ahead and say some other stuff. So a week later, he said that I'm still spewing bullshit, I see. So at that point, it was on, and I just said, you know, still have the IQ of a walnut, you see. So I tried to really cut to the chase. I actually didn't want this to get drawn out, but it got drawn out quite a bit. Like I said, cut to the chase. You believe in every form of science. Like, you take for granted what science says, except for in a couple of areas where it threatens your pathetic superstitions or whatever. I didn't know if he was a flat earther or not. I think at first I assumed that he was. But really, Corey's thing, as we'll see, is really just evolution. And yeah, I don't even feel sorry for you, but you don't have the required cognitive load for empathy. It's like squashing a bug. You don't feel bad when you do it. Yeah, that's pretty mean. But again, I was trying to cut to the chase, and the insults were really meant to get them to leave me alone. I could have just blocked them, but I just wanted to have some fun.
Right? Show me proof of macroevolution. Enlighten me.
Yeah, showing proof of macroevolution. They think that that's a gotcha. It really isn't. It really is as simple as looking at the genetics, because that proves what the implication of macroevolution would be. I said this in a recent debate. Somebody was asking something about, like, I used an example like this in a fairly recent debate. The implications for evolution are that all life is related, and you can find evidence of that. It's in the fossil record. It's in our genetics. So kind of like general relativity doesn't tell you that black holes exist, but if you do the equations, you can come to that conclusion. And so people wondered if there really were black holes, and then we figured out that there are. The implications for evolution are that, yeah, that macroevolution happens and that all life is related, and that's what the evidence told us.
No, that means we share a creator. 60% of our DNA is also identical to a banana. Are we related to or evolved from a common banana ancestor?
I knew exactly that this was where this was going to go. No, that's evidence of the designer. So the easiest thing to say with regard to that is, nobody knows how a being of inconceivable powers and abilities does anything. So we can't predict what this creator would do, would want to do, didn't do, anything like that. There's zero objectivity to it. There's zero predictable power to it. Now, in a way, you could say, well, the creator could do anything, but that means that if your explanation explains everything, then that means it explains nothing in particular. God could have made this, apparently. But nobody thinks that. But then why do we think that life is created, even though there's nothing miraculous about life? This is an explanation that can't get you anywhere. And the other extremely important thing is, this is not a prediction, it's a post-diction. I say that a lot these days. But yeah, we had predictions scientifically that led us to this. And then these people just come in after all the work has been done. they freeload and they plagiarize and say, yeah, our guy did that. And then the comment of, so do we have a common banana ancestor because we share genes with bananas? So this guy just clearly has, he lacks the ninth grade level of understanding of how evolution and genetics works, and yet he's sitting here saying that it's been debunked or that there's no evidence for it.
I'm just following your logic. You say every single organism is related. That is proof of macroevolution. Genes are made up of DNA. Our DNA is 60% identical to that of a banana. So, therefore, we are related to bananas by your logic. Right, so sharing genes with a banana, which is scientifically proven, means we share an ancestor with the bananas, as well as chickens, chimpanzees, and fruit flies. Now, you begin to use ad hominem fallacies, clearly trying to avoid a genuine debate instead of attacking the substance of my argument. Fallacious.
So, this was his response. Didn't address a single point that I brought up. And the whole thing about we share 60% of our DNA with bananas, that's not true at all. I write about this in my book. I'll tell you more about that in a little bit. But yeah, so he's not even trying. Well, I take that back. He's trying really, 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 really hard. He's using both of his brain cells, but he just doesn't know anything. And even if I give him all the information, which I do, he's almost incapable of being able to correct anything or argue in good faith.
Excuse me, we share 40% of the same gene products as a banana. So where down the line did the banana acquire the same proteins as a human? Oh, fruit flies and chickens and chimpanzees as well.
Yeah, here's more of him just completely being like incapable of understanding how this works. And it's really not that complicated. If we share genes with a banana, and in this case, he's talking about proteins. So now I have to tell you what this is about. So where does the thing about us sharing all this DNA with bananas come from? It came from a paper that was just either wildly misunderstood or misquoted, or I don't know exactly. But what happened was they compared human and banana genes or whatever. What they did was they looked at protein products. So proteins are made by genes, duh. And what they found was for all of the protein products that we share with bananas, they are on average 40% similar. So it's nothing close to we have 40% of the same DNA. They just took specifically some of the coding DNA, and then of that small fraction, it was 40% similar. So the actual number is, I don't know exactly, but I've been told it's around 1% or less. But anyways, we can see him saying here that if you share genes or proteins in common with something, he's saying that the banana acquired human proteins. And then fruit flies, chickens, and chimpanzees, they all share, we share some with chimpanzees, we share a lot with others, less. And he's saying that they got it from us or something like that. I don't know what you even do with these people, but I just corrected him. Like, if you have a brother, it means you share half your DNA. Did your brother get your DNA from you? No, you have a common ancestor, in this case, a parent.
I said we share 40% of the same gene products. I never said the banana had human DNA, vice versa. I said genes. Later, I said more specifically proteins. Right, so the DNA we share came before us, as you say. So what gave the similar proteins to a banana and a human, as well as the fruit fly, chickens, and chimpanzees? They all share similar gene products with us.
He tried to kind of rescue it here. He must have Googled this really quick to be like, no, I just made a small error. What I meant was, no, you don't know anything. You're Googling this on the fly. There's really nothing new here. Literally not a single thing that he has said so far is correct. And it's just exposing how he knows absolutely nothing at all.
Yeah, I said proteins come from genes. In fact, I said gene products. So let me get this straight. The chicken, banana, fruit fly, and chimpanzee all share a common ancestor from which they acquired similar gene products. Right. So still we share common proteins with the above-mentioned organisms, correct?
That is correct.
Great. So tell what this common ancestor looked like that passed on similar gene products to the above-mentioned organisms. Were the organisms around before the common ancestor, or how does that work? How did this common ancestor pass on similar proteins to a fruit fly, chicken, chimpanzee, and banana?
He keeps asking the same question over and over and over again. It looks like he's kind of sort of getting it at this point. If we have DNA or genes in common with something else on this planet, it means that before either of us existed, something passed on those genes, and each group has them. You have DNA in common with your cousins because it comes from your grandparents. Now, because it comes from your cousins or from your cousin's parents. I don't know what was going on, but I never responded to this. I must have been busy with something. So on to his next point.
Yeah, I'll be waiting to hear how one common ancestor passed on similar gene products to humans, fruit flies, chickens, and chimpanzees. This is all from your logic. Premise 1, all organisms are related. Premise 2, the gene products shared by humans, the fruit fly, chicken, chimpanzee, and banana all came from a common ancestor. Conclusion, evolution is fact.
This is an absolutely horribly phrased argument. I'm not going to try to fix it. You guys are clever enough to know. I specifically addressed, he said, like, how did we get DNA in common with a plant or whatever? Well, that would have come from some eukaryote probably a billion years ago or more, because it would have had to have predated endosymbiosis. Again, we know how genes are passed on. You learn that in the ninth grade.
Right, but the gene products found in humans also ended up in chickens, fruit flies, chimpanzees, and the banana. Now you backpedal and changed your previous statement. Before, all the organisms received the proteins from one common ancestor, a human. Now it was passed from plants and animals. Here's the evidence for you backpedaling. Me. I said we share 40% of the same gene products. I never said the banana had human DNA, vice versa. I said genes. Later I said more specifically proteins. Right, so the DNA we share came before us, as you say. So what gave the similar proteins to a banana and a human, as well as the fruit fly, chicken, and chimpanzees? They all share similar gene products with us. You, the fact that we share a common ancestor, also had them.
Earlier, I think I said he was kind of starting to get it, but he's not. Because, I mean, he's saying right here, the proteins come from one ancestor, a human. Now it's passed on from plants to animals. I thought, Corey, we were making progress. So, like I told him, I don't know what you think is going on here, but it's literally just you not understanding anything. I never said any of those things. I would just be repeating myself. I don't need to say too much more about this, but I begged him to stop, and we're not even halfway through.
Right. So we still don't know how a human shares common proteins with a fruit fly, chicken, a chimpanzee, and a banana. When can you explain how this happened? I'd be glad to know. Just remember, I have yet to result to ad hominems. You, though?
Again, asking the exact same question that I've explained multiple times. The only way you can share DNA is if it's passed on from a common ancestor. It can be a parent. It can be a 10 times great grandparent. It can be something that lived a million years ago. It can be something that lived a billion years ago.
Right, so we've established a human, a chicken, a chimpanzee, and a banana all have common proteins shown in DNA sequencing. So since all these organisms have similar proteins, it's because they share a gene. The only way these organisms can have the same gene is if they have a common ancestor. That's what you said. So what common ancestor gave these similar genes to all the organisms?
Here he's trying to do the thing where he's like, it's literally that Futurama skit with Dr. Banjo. Aha, we have 1,000 missing links, but do we have the 1,001st missing link? I knew he was trying to do that because he asks this question. What was the common ancestor of humans and plants? Now, you can say we don't know because we don't know, but there's actually a lot that we would know about it. So I told him what we would have known. I actually kind of said this earlier. So there you go.
Right, so humans came from this eukaryote a billion years ago, as well as chickens, chimpanzees, and bananas. Evidence? Where did the eukaryote come from?
So what's the evidence that a chicken, a chimpanzee, a banana, and a human come from a eukaryote ancestor? We are eukaryotes. That's the only thing we possibly could have come from. And where did the eukaryote come from? And so on and so on and so forth. So I just kind of explained that he's doing this very stupid thing where he pretends that if you can just... It's like he thinks scientific evidence works like Jenga does. If you can take out the bottom block and the whole thing falls apart, it means that then all of the data is false or something like that. It's so stupid. And I give this murder analogy. I encourage you to use this because it's very good, because they won't accept this, but it is the exact same logic. So, and I've used it multiple times before. If you were a lawyer trying to defend somebody who did a murder, and you said to the judge, the jury, or whatever, "We don't know precisely which nanosecond this murder took place, so we must discount all of the other evidence, because if we don't know that, then we don't know anything else," or whatever. It's obviously stupid. And you could make a stronger analogy, but I think that one does pretty well.
Right, again, so all you have is a huge presupposition that conveniently happened a billion years ago. Similarities in DNA are hijacked, and huge assumptions are made. No one is trying to solve a murder case from 1 billion years ago, so in reality, you have no evidence for macroevolution. You just have a bunch of huge and wild assertions based on limited data with the last couple hundred years. Also, the dating methods for the Earth are also huge presuppositions. More assertions based on limited data and variables that can't possibly be known. You, sir, have no more evidence for macroevolution than I do creationism, but you certainly do have way more faith than I do. You've never seen a human come from anything but a human. You've never seen a chicken come from anything but a chicken. When you need millions and billions of years, anything is possible, I guess. You're also very disingenuous.
I can't stand when you explain how science works and they call it a presupposition, they call it faith, and all this other stuff. They say, well, you need all these qualifiers to make your theory work, and so on and so on and so on. No, I'm telling you what the evidence is. I'm not manufacturing an explanation post hoc from the evidence. We either accept the evidence for what it tells us, or we make predictions and we look for the evidence. You don't need billions of years for evolution to work. We just know that to be true. So now we start talking about what science is for quite a while here. And then we kind of get into the dating thing too. I mostly hear this argument from idiot flat earthers like Whitsitt. They say that we're doing like circular logic because you have a model and then you make predictions based off of the model. So you're just doing confirmation bias. Other people call these presuppositions. That's what a hypothesis is. But a lot of hypotheses get thrown out because they're not true. So I'm just pointing out that he's accusing me of doing the post hoc rationalization, but I'm pointing out that that's exactly what he's doing, and that, man, I really went at him here. Because I can't stand when people equivocate scientific reasoning, the scientific method, and evidence with their magical thinking. They're always guilty of exactly what you accuse them of. They believe that some dirt turned into a person, and then there was this McRib person, pronouns she, her, that came out of that. You'd have to be five to believe that, which is how this all starts every generation. It's the only good reason why anybody believes this stuff. It's because it's impressed upon them when they are very impressionable. When you say you need millions and billions of years to do something, that's not a logical problem. I mean, if you're scared of big numbers, then I don't know, go see a therapist or something. But for your worldview to work, you have to believe in literal magic. So only one of us believes in stupid things.
Right, believing something happened billions of years ago based on the last 200 years? That's not science, that's faith.
So after I gave him the explanation, which I guess maybe he didn't listen to it because I was calling him stupid, he did the exact same thing again. I mean, it's so stupid. And we got into the creationist thing because I said, you know, we can see for billions of light years. So what's more reasonable, that the laws of physics don't just randomly fluctuate or that they did at one time? And the only reason we would ever say that is because we're trying to confirm a story written by people that thought the sun orbited the Earth. Again, only one of us believes in silly, stupid things.
Right, says the one who believes he came from bacteria a billion years ago.
This argument is nothing but I don't like the way it sounds and big numbers scare me, so there's nothing to say.
Right. I made no mention of the age of the universe, just the Earth. Extremely precise, huh? So the half-life of uranium is 700 million years? Now how is that determined?
Pretty much the rest of this, we're now talking about the age of the Earth. So, you know, how do you determine the half-life? We measure it. Again, Corey, you take for granted things in science that none of us can wrap our heads around, such as how an MRI machine works, gravitational waves, you know, whatever. So you're selectively applying your skepticism here and calling it fake, again, because it disagrees with a story written by nobody knows who, nobody knows when. The only thing we know about them is they thought the sun orbited the Earth.
Yeah, bacteria, 1 billion years old, a pile of dirt, 8,000 years old. Yeah, the first one is definitely more viable.
I'm not going to lie, I absolutely lost my shit when he said this. I simply cannot fathom how thinking dirt turning into a person is a better story. A story that requires magic is better than a story that doesn't. So, you're allowed 6,000 characters in a message, and an emoji counts as two. So my response to him saying that was to do the maximum allowable number of characters with the ruffle copter emoji, whatever it's called.
What do you measure to determine 700 million years in a half-life? Just remember, I never insulted you as well.
This can kind of sort of work against you because it can make your interlocutor get really annoyed and rage quit on you. But I think this is a really important question to ask. Considering that you have no idea how this works, on what grounds do you sit here and state that I don't believe this? Because, again, it's about getting to the root of why do they have these beliefs? Because, as I've mentioned several times in this debate, their skepticism is not well placed because they don't have this skepticism for anything else that's fantastical or beyond their comprehension. So you want to get at what the reason is, and then you can point out how terrible those reasons are.
You said extremely precise. What do you measure to determine 700 million years as a half-life?
He never really made an attempt to answer the question, but I mean, I gave him a small lesson in radiometric dating, and there are some comebacks they can give to you with that, such as you don't know how much radioactive material you started with. That's not a problem because we can do what's called isochron dating. So you take multiple samples, all of different, like with different amounts of the radioactive material, and then you can graph them. And if they all converge at a single point, that means that you truly do know that the samples are reliable. This bottom thing, I've kind of said this same thing before, but what also really bothers me is the idea that somebody named Corey, who all of his videos on his profile are him either driving his truck or shooting an AK-47, the idea that Corey came up with something that scientists didn't think of a long time ago, the hubris in that is just, it's so unpalatable. And many of you are probably thinking Dunning-Kruger. Yeah, kind of, basically.
Right, so you have samples from 1,400,000,000 years ago. I'm pretty sure the decay rate is constant unless the isotopes become contaminated. But taking multiple samples from the last 200 years doesn't demonstrate uranium-235 from 1.4 billion years ago. People who make assertions from very limited data, but it's extremely precise. You have way more faith than I do, and even less evidence. From the last 200 years, humans have asserted billions, but it's all science and no faith in the science. Got it.
More of the same stupid talking points, which I never really realized this or noticed this, but this wasn't really a conversation so much as it was me responding to what he says, and then him using recycled talking points that I've heard a million times. He's not even, for the most part, processing what I'm saying, but yes, this guy, going back to the faith thing, you have to believe that the laws of physics wildly fluctuated by like tens, hundreds, or hundreds of thousands of percents, that they fluctuated that much in order to confirm a story. And it's just, and you're saying that I have faith. It's just so dumb.
Right, so the laws of physics determined the original ratio of uranium 1.4 billion years ago. You honestly believe it takes that long for uranium to become lead? You honestly think you came from bacteria?
Getting kind of close to the end here, and this is where, I mean, if you thought he didn't understand evolution, just wait until you figure out how he thinks radioactive decay works. It's just unbelievable. He's sitting here saying, like, he can't understand the ratios of the radioactive material that you start with, and that would somehow be a huge issue. And we didn't get into it in very much depth, but we have multiple different dating techniques, and it's not that they all give you the exact same age, because some of them don't work on time scales that go back far enough or whatever, but literally every single one of them tells us that the Earth is very, very, very old, and our cosmological observations confirm that too, I would say. I mean, he very weirdly said that he doesn't think the universe is only a few thousand years old like the Earth, which I guess you could make that work. You could believe that the universe is old. The physical evidence of the Earth doesn't really tell you the age of the universe, but they do match pretty well. I mean, if we could only see a few thousand light years, but we were measuring billion-year-old rocks here on Earth, then there would be a point, but there is no point. A lot of this has already been said, but there's another good thing that you should bring up. When they ask them if they believe in fine-tuning, they will always say yes. The problem is there's a decay constant, okay? So if you believe in fine-tuning, it's the same with the speed of light thing. The constants are... They're tuned to like 13 decimal places. If they're off by any amount, then whatever, that's evidence God did it. And then you point out to them, yeah, except if you're an old Earth, old universe creationist, then okay, you have the best of the worst arguments for your side here. But if you're a young Earth creationist, then this completely blows up in your face. People like Stephen Meyer bring up this argument, which is unbelievable because he is a young Earth creationist. He just never admits it. But yeah, if the constants are so finely tuned, then you can't have these wild fluctuations. And then they'll just turn around and say, God has magical powers. And now we're in the realm of, okay, now don't ever talk about or use science to back up your belief, because you will discard it whenever it's convenient for you.
But some uranium from the 19th century clearly shows the ratio of uranium-235 from 1.4 billion years ago. No, big numbers are nonsensical and assumed.
I tried to tell him that I was going to bed, because I was. I wanted to, but I kept coming back for more.
So I am taking a trip. I am not telling when I leave or when I arrive. I am not telling where I left from or my destination. All I will give you is I am 200 miles from my destination. When did I leave and when will I arrive? That's how you measure the half-life of uranium. Completely nonsensical.
He gives this argument about, or this hypothetical, like, this is how we know that radioactive decay is, or radioactive decay measurements or whatever are severely flawed. And I'm just pointing out, this is literally exactly what somebody who argues that we have no idea if the speed of light has been constant forever would say. And you can make that argument. We don't know the one-way speed of light, we just know the two-way average and stuff like that. But nobody in good faith makes those arguments to try to support anything, really.
Nah, I'm pretty sure the speed of light is constant, but we're not measuring ratios either, so that's a bad analogy.
He tries to say it's a bad analogy. It's not. I think this is the second or third time I told him there's a decay constant.
Now, does the speed of light remain constant beyond what we can measure? We don't know, because it's beyond our ability to measure.
Again, this is probably the best point he ever made, but it's still absolutely horrible, because you could say it's true, yes, but what logical reason do you have to assume? The laws of physics have wildly fluctuated, and again, this is only being done to protect some dumb superstition.
I never said the speed of light changes. The ratio tells you what the constant is. The constant doesn't tell you what the original ratio was. You can't know that. Never said they do within our observation. We don't know beyond our observation.
Again, I'm just throwing it right back at him. You don't know that the speed of light hasn't changed.
Right. The speed of light isn't determined by a ratio of decaying isotopes. It's not the same thing. Radioactive decay isn't affected by physics. Speed of light is.
And this is where I learned that I somehow have been overestimating Corey massively the entire time. Radioactive decay isn't affected by physics. The speed of light is.
How is radioactive decay affected by physics? Learn me.
I just couldn't believe that he said this. It was just... Like I said, it turned out I was massively overestimating him the entire time. I mean, the speed of light is really just the way we describe an observed law of physics. So the laws of physics are what determine what the speed of light is. The laws of physics are determine the rate of decay for isotopes. Now, they all have their own unique half-life and everything, but they're under the control of those laws of physics. And that was the end of our conversation, and hopefully we never talk again. Unless he requests up. Doing that live would actually be a lot of fun. So, yeah, that's it. I'll see you soon.